It's good that the camera thing there was very fun because again, Zoom's like trying to no do noise filtering meant that I heard like a little at the start and then it completely cut it out, but I could see you like shouting.
Oh, for fuck, Doom! First the cat meowing, and now my small scream.
I'm
I mean,
not.
this just proves that the small scream isn't necessary, but I will never turn down the opportunity for to have
See,
a small scream.
I could turn off or down the noise filtering, but the thing is that we're not very good at this, because we make little noises and stuff constantly while we're doing this. I
We
know this from
do.
editing this myself, and
Yeah.
I want Zoom to handle that for us. I will
You
sacrifice.
edit this podcast as well as do all the research, so I'm not gonna bitch about the noise filtering levels
Research. I read the
here.
book and sometimes look up a Wikipedia article. I don't do much of that anymore because we don't really see new existing mythological figures in later chapters.
Yeah. But I always forget the existing mythology unless it's real gay. So that's all that my brain has space for.
Welcome to Journey of the Monkey King with myself, Ava, and my friend MJ.
Hello.
We're reading chapter 84 of Journey to the West, and I think I should stop pretending that I'm going to get these out on any kind of regular schedule anymore. I think we're just past the point where that's happening.
Yeah, sorry. Hey, if Stephen West can make it work, although
I don't know who that is.
here's the thing, Stephen West, the guy, if you haven't listened to the podcast Philosophize This ever, please do. I am not exaggerating when I say this man may have saved my actual life. He's got a very clear and accessible way of explaining very dense philosophical concepts, and just a very gentle and soothing sense of humor. I love this man to death. Not in a weird way, Stephen West, if by any strange chance you were actually listening to it. But he didn't want to accept advertising for the podcast and had some health difficulties, and for many years was only able to get episodes out quite irregularly, which is at the end of the day, he's giving out this incredible resource for free. So I don't think there's a lot of pushback. In the end, he started doing ads. So if anyone wants to sponsor
Oh yes, I've said before. I'm happy to sell out. I'm not like putting in any of the legwork trying to promote this and like make it bigger, but
here's the thing, neither am I, so so I don't know if we're a great candidate, but yeah, I'll
yeah,
sell out. Fuck it.
I would. But the thing is, I'm not going to put in. I hate ads are terrible. I hate them. I have ad blockers
Yeah.
installed on everything as a matter of course. I'm not going to enable ads in order to get like, Spotify level money or I Spotify probably put ads on this anyway. I don't know. I don't use Spotify. But like, you could go. You could. I could have used like some podcast system. Like I used to. This used to be hosted on Buzzsprout until I moved it to hosting it myself. And like, you could put it on Buzzsprout and like not pay money and they would put ads on it, but I like paid the money out of pocket just to not have ads on it because I like it's it wasn't the I hate ads and I'm like I'm not I would put ads on it if you paid me enough. But I'm not
Yeah.
gonna put ads on something if I'm only gonna get it like a piddling amount for it. And if you're
I
listening
mean,
If you're listening to this on Spotify and they're putting ads on it, A, stop using Spotify. B, I'm not getting any money from that. I don't know, maybe they don't put ads on podcasts. I don't fucking know how Spotify works. Other than it's
I don't.
bad.
I think it depends on the network that you're hosting on. I know Acast will put ads on fucking everything.
Yeah.
I.
If you're using the feed directly, you're definitely not getting ads. But if you're using Spotify, I don't know what the fuck they do.
Neither of us are really putting a ton of energy into promoting this thing, so maybe we should wish to bid on that. But also, can you imagine trying to just being on camera and watching me read an ad for BetterHelp and trying to keep a straight face?
I would have to edit. You would like read the ad, and then I would have to edit out the 20-minute rant you would go on afterwards.
Yeah.
While
But
I
sure, look,
agree with
we're
you the entire time, probably.
if you're here, I am assuming that you're super sound and okay with us putting out I will not compare myself to Stephen West, king of my heart. But I hope you are okay with us putting out free content as our spoons allow us to do. And if not, I'll list out all my disabilities at the end, and you can feel real bad about having bad thoughts.
We're reading a book or something.
We are reading a book.
I do this joke every time we go on a tangent.
Look, we there are podcasts who do worse 20-minute long intro. We won't name them.
Okay, so I love this chapter. I will just say up front, it's some Looney Tunes shit.
Beautiful. Chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos Monkey. We love this. He's my favorite underneath Sun Wukarn.
So there is an interesting thing about this though as well, which I guess to spoil a little bit, there's no monsters and no one dies.
Wow.
Yeah.
What other weird warning? Can I trust from Quiva?
Sorry,
We are definitely done with child murder of
let me clarify.
Pequeve.
Let me clarify that. There is backstory involving a lot of murder, but none
Okay.
happens like with the protagonist. Like, no, the protagonists don't kill anyone. No one gets killed over the course of the plot of this chapter. Hi, this is Quiva coming in the edit to say my memory is terrible and some people do die in this chapter. So, whoops. It's just not the protagonists that do it. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So there's a loop, but there's a little murder loophole there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So the pilgrims are on the road again. It's the summer. Now the season's rolled around again. They've been on this pilgrimage for a very fucking long time. It did not take the it very much did not take like the real Tripitaka this long to get to India. And he didn't even have any fucking magic murder monkey to help him out. They're very slow.
Yeah.
They run into an old woman with a young child on the road who flag them down and tell them to turn around. The way forward is certain death. And Tripitaka is so surprised by this, he jumps down off his horse. He actually climbs down himself. He doesn't actually
Okay, he
fall
doesn't
off.
fall. We're making progress after several years. Well done.
But he
Well
jumps
done.
down and he asks what's going on. So a few miles up ahead is the Dharma Destroying Kingdom, as it's known, where 2 years ago the king made a vow that he would kill 10,000 Buddhist priests. And he has so far killed 9,996 monks.
Okay, so we're back. So it's
So
sectarianism
there's
again.
four There's four monks left he needs to kill.
Let's count the pilgrims. You got
Yeah.
one, two. Does the horse count?
No, but Tripitaka
No.
counts, and then there's
Yes.
the three agents.
I think the horse should count.
Is the horse the horse is the horse a Buddhist, or is he just a dragon horse?
Well, I mean, the dragons are sentient and or sapient even.
Yeah.
I got schooled in the difference on that repeatedly recently.
I keep getting those two terms mixed up constantly as well.
The dragon is sapient. He's been roped in under the same, you could not do this and die or be imprisoned.
All the others have religious names though, like Sun Wukong, Zhu Baji, Xiao Wu Jing, but the horse was never given one.
That seems unfair. Maybe he has one. I'm gonna name he's George now.
Okay, he's George.
Yeah.
Fine
It's
Buddhist
not a it's
name.
not a Buddhist name. I don't know. I'm committing some sort of horrible religious faux pas, please somebody tell me. But in my heart he's gonna be George, at least until someone corrects me.
Tripitaka, is there like a bypass? Can we go around? And the woman's like, no, it's completely impossible. The only way you could possibly go around the city is if you could fly.
Wow.
Please ignore that they could all fly.
Yeah,
They can't carry
this has
Tripitaka
always
other than the
been
times that they have carried him, but ignore that.
that this is yeah, this is my why didn't the Eagles just I don't know. I read Lord of the Rings when I was very young and had spinal surgery and was in hospital on a ton of morphine. So my memories of those books are sort of hazy at best, and I want to keep them that way. So I've refused to rewatch any of the movies. I refuse to read the books again. I was surprised to find from talking to people that the singing actually did happen.
Yes, yes, that is part of the books, yes.
So and Tom Bombadil, I thought that was morphine.
They cut a lot of whimsy out of the movies, is the thing.
But yeah, why didn't the Eagles just bring them? I remember that bit.
But Wukong realizes that this is a disguise, and the old woman and the young boy are actually Guan Yin and our old friend Red Boy in disguise.
Red boy.
Red Boy, and he starts bowing to her. And when he does this, he's like, oh, the jig's up, and drops her disguise, goes back to her true form, and all the others are like, oh shit, it's Guan Yin, and get down their knees and like bow their head,
My
kowtowing.
terrifying trans queen.
Yes.
Yes.
They like have their heads bowed like worshipfully to her, and then Wukong is like, lad, she's already gone. She's gone. You can look up. It's fine.
Can I raise my eyes?
So they get off the road so they can make plans somewhere they won't be spotted. And Wukong says he'll scout ahead, and see what this city is like, and he tells the others to stay behind and guard Tripitaka. Stay with him this time.
Yeah, it hasn't worked out frequently in the past. Also, Guan Yin doesn't clarify whether this is like a test of faith or an earnest warning or.
Everything is a like ordeal that they're destined to go
Okay.
through for self-cultivation, because this is it's a, the journey is also a metaphorical one.
I know, I
Everything
know,
is
I know, but
preordained.
like.
So yeah, he flies over to the city, and then he turns into a moth and starts scouting around. And it's honestly a fairly normal town. Everyone seems fine. It's well kept, well, it's orderly. So he spots a hotel called Steward Wang's Inn, with the slogan "Rest for the Traveling Merchant." And
Swanky.
Inside, he spots a group of merchants who have taken off their clothes and head wraps and tucked into bed, and he thinks this is perfect. We can steal their clothes and use them as a disguise. Because one thing is they all have like priest robes as well. The other thing is they're all bald. Their heads are shaved, and they need to hide that as well. Because that is also a giveaway that they're monks.
Ooh, fancy wigs, fancy hats.
Well, they yeah they he plant the monks he's stealing from. He wants to steal their head wraps to use for this. So, unfortunately, as he's planning this, Stuart Wang shows up and he says to the merchants, "Oh, you need to be more careful with your belongings. Our place caters to both gentlemen and rogues," which is like hey,
Everyone's
we
welcome. Management does not acknowledge any responsibility for the loss of property. Also, can we just walk back to the bald thing?
Yes.
Does this mean like Sun Wukong has a like a tonsure shaved?
Yeah.
Like because everyone else is and the yeah Santa Claus doesn't exist. All the like the fish spirits and the whatever they
Their
actually look
disguise.
like just like dudes. And not like a giant fish that's talking to you. And it broke my fucking heart. But Sun Wukong, actually a monkey.
He is actually a monkey.
Actually a
Most
monkey. But apparently a shaved bald monkey.
depictions of him don't make him bald, but like
I understand why, because that is a horrifying image.
but yeah, they are they like do talk here about like they need to hide their bald heads, so they all it would appear that all of four of the monks on the pilgrimage have shaved heads.
I no longer want the horse to be a monk. George is a lay person in my head now.
That's great.
Yeah, that's just a horrifying image. I'm so sorry.
If you wanna continue the theme of whimsy from Lord of the Rings, they cut out of the movies. We can say the horses. You can name the horse Bill.
Could name the horse Bill. I like George though.
Okay, fair.
He's George in my heart. Sorry.
Okay.
Over.
So, but yes, Wong takes all these clothes to his own room to mind. Which honestly, I would trust less than the guy who's just like, "Hey, yeah, we like cater to robbers and thieves in this hotel. let me mind your belongings." I think I'd keep them with me.
Management does not accept any responsibility.
But yeah, Wong brings them back to his own room. So Wukong is like, "Okay, I'll follow him, I'll steal the clothes when they go to sleep." But he sleeps in the same room as his wife and two kids. And his wife is staying up because she's like stubbornly wants to finish stitching some clothes and that are damaged, and the children are staying up because they are children.
You just can't get those kids to bed.
But
That's
no
been
one,
true since the dawn of time.
no one is going to sleep.
Yeah.
So Wukong gets a bit fed up and he flies down onto the candle as a moth to blow it out, then turns into a rat. And his master plan is he just, as a rat, just grabs the clothes and starts dragging them out of the room.
Those darn clothes stealing rats.
And so Mrs. Wang is just like, "Oh shit, that something's bad is going on in this town. That rat has turned into a monster spirit. Is stealing our clothes." And
But
so
he doesn't, because he doesn't look like a dude.
Wukong, still in rat form, stops to pause and tell them, "Hey, I'm not a monster. I'm the gray sage equal to heaven. I'm on a pilgrimage. I'll bring back the clo I'm only borrowing these. I'll bring them
Oh
back
my
when I'm
God.
done."
Hey, my dude, living in the super sectarian town where we're gonna kill all the Buddhist monks. I am, in fact, one of those. And I am very small and in your house, so.
And I am a rat.
And I am a rat. I prove all your disgusting propaganda correct. I am literal vermin.
Oh God.
Listen, they did a blood libel earlier.
There's no real reason given for why the king is doing this. It's not like the king has decided that all monks are evil. He's just kind of doing this. He's just doing a bit. Don't worry about it. Mong tries to chase after the rat Wukong, but the candle's been blown out. It's in the dark. He tries to grab his shirt, accidentally grabs his trousers, and like is trying to like shove them on over his head. He's like, "Where the hell is the hole? I can't get my shirt on." And Wukong makes good his escape.
Hey, if you want to keep a lookout, there's going to be four monks and a horse named George coming through, all wearing these exact clothes that were stolen from my customers last night. A talking rat told us so.
It's fine, it's fine. Wukong brings the clothes back to everyone else. And he has a plan now. So they're gonna go into town disguised as horse traders. They're gonna have these clothes and they're gonna have the head wraps covering their heads so no one can see they're bald. They're gonna book an inn for the night and then leave really early in the morning. That we're gonna say the dragon horse is our showpiece. There's 10 of us in total. The four of us are going into the town for the night. The other six are camped outside the city, minding the rest of the horses. And like, I can just like pick up some broken pieces of tile or something and turn them into silver to pay the inn with, because that's something I can just do at any time, apparently.
Fuck's sake, Wukong.
He's gonna pay with fucking leprechaun gold.
Amazing.
And just let me do all the talking. They also have to sew two head wraps together to fit over Baji's head, because Baji is a huge head, because he is a pig. Literally.
Cleva, they're not going back to the same inn, are they?
No, don't be silly. They
Okay.
go from the inn directly across from it.
Incredible.
They,
Incredible.
the narration literally describes them walking past the inn where they can like hear people shouting about their clothes being stolen, and Wukong is just like, "Oh, let's go to
Don't
this
worry
other
about
one."
it. Don't worry about it. We'll just go to the one in direct eyeline.
Yeah, so they go to Widow Zhao's inn. So Widow Zhao is there, and she greets them as like, "Oh, where you come from? What are you selling?" And Wukong says that, "Oh, we've come from the north and we are selling, quote, ordinary horses."
Super normal horses, nothing to see here. There is
Definitely.
no cause for alarm. This, as you can see, is a normal horse with the normal horse amount of legs.
Certainly,
And it's not
certainly not a
bald,
dragon. Not a
so.
dragon, not bald, can't talk. Just a
Know,
normal
normal
white
horse
horse.
stuff. Amazing.
He introduces them as Grandmaster Tong, Third Master Zhu, Fourth Master Shai, Fourth Master Sha, and he is Second Master Sun. And the innkeeper is like, "Oh, you all have different surnames." And Wukong is like, "Oh, like, yes, yeah, we all have different surnames, but we all live together." Like, it's probably not meant to sound like they're gay, but it really comes across that to me.
This is our normal horse, and this is our normal as can be gay polycule.
Yeah.
We can give you a fantastic kombucha recipe and
I'll read the lines directly. All different surnames, said the woman with a giggle. Indeed, all different surnames, but living together, said Pilgrim. There are altogether 10 of us in our fraternal order. Four of us have come to the city to seek lodging, blah blah blah. This cover story was like, yeah, all different surnames, but we live together.
what are you going to say about it? We'll need one bed, please.
So yeah, they're like, oh, like 100 other horses outside the city. The rest of the guys will be coming tomorrow. And Zhao was like, oh, we've come to the right place. We have stables big enough to fit hundreds of horses, which sounds like that. How
That
big is
sounds
this?
like a lie,
How big is this fucking
but.
hotel?
Widow Zhao is raking it in.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because she doesn't judge.
No. So she also offers they have like three different classes of accommodation. First class comes with a 5-course meal. Everyone is sat at 2-seater tables, and there'll be some hostesses. Why did I have an extra? There'll be some hostesses come to keep them company. And it's 5 silvers. Second class, everyone has to share a big table, and you'll only get fruit and hot wine to eat, and it's 2 silvers. And third class is like, come in, you can have as much rice as you want from the pot. Go just find some straw in the stables, make a bed for yourself wherever you find a spot to sleep, and just give us just like a few pennies or something in the morning, whatever. We won't haggle over it. It's like very, I don't know. It's still like fairly rough sleeping, but it's just very much like, yeah, eat as much as you want and go to sleep, whatever. Just give me whatever you want for that. It's fine.
Okay, I have some questions about Widow Zhao's business practices now. This is clearly a front.
But yeah, Wukong orders the first class room, and the woman's like, oh, great, we have some fucking high-paying customers. Shouts down to the kitchen, slaughter some chickens, slaughter some geese, kill a pig, kill a lamb, get the good wine out. Even if they don't eat all of this, we'll use the rest of it tomorrow. Just get the good food on.
And they can't ask for vegetarian stuff.
So yeah, Tribute Pack is immediately like, hey, Wukong, I don't really want them giving us a load of meat that we can't eat. So Wukong is like, no. Don't kill the animals. We're actually on a special diet. We only we were and she's like, oh, are you a vegetarian? He's like, no, we're not vegetarian. We're oh no, what are we? We're
That
not
would be
monks or anything.
suspicious. And
We
us with our gay polycule and
yeah.
normal horse, as you can see,
We're we
are
just
normal.
we're just on we just follow this diet where we are strict vegetarian 1 of every 60 days, and that happens to be today. So just do we'll pay we'll still pay full price, just vegetables tonight. And the when the rest of the lads come in tomorrow, then we'll have it. And she's like, oh, okay, that's okay. And they order some vegetarian meals to be cooked instead. And then they hear some other noise downstairs, and Mekong asks her, oh, what's going on there? And your one's like, oh, that'll be the lads going out to go get the call girls. And he's like, oh right, yeah, that. No, just leave that for the night too. When the guys come tomorrow, then we'll have a real party. But we'll just rest tonight. So just forget about the girls. So then, they're talking a bit. They eat, and they're like talking a bit more. And they're like, well, we don't really, even having like this room to ourselves, like, it's very bright tonight. There's like the moon's out. The Even if we like wear the head wraps in our sleep, there's a good chance they'll just come loose and fall off. And then someone might see, like someone going in and out might see our bald heads and realize that we're monks. So Wukong calls Zhao up again, and he's like, "Oh yeah, where are you? Where are we going to sleep actually?" And she's like, "Well, this is your room. You're gonna sleep here." And he's like, "Oh no, that won't do. Zhu here has issues with the damp. Xia, he's a bit of arthritis in his shoulders. Master Tong, he can only really sleep in the dark. I'm a bit sensitive to light myself. Do you have like somewhere more enclosed and dark, and where no one will see us?"
We're just four normal men.
We're just four normal vegetarian men who live together and don't want to be seen by anyone. We're definitely not
Yeah, and
monks.
we've turned down the call
We're
girls as
just we're
well.
yeah, we're just innocent men.
We're just innocent men.
So Zhao goes downstairs and she just kind of leans on the counter and leaves off a big sigh. And her daughter asks what's wrong, and she's like, "These merchants are all just like, they're really weird and sickly. They're not eating meat, they're not drinking, they don't want the hostesses. Like, I don't know how we're gonna like make extra money off them. And where the he and they're like now asking for like somewhere pitch black to sleep in. Where the hell are we gonna find somewhere to put them?" And the daughter is like, "Wait, no, I know where we can put them. Do you remember Dad's old huge wardrobe that he had made? Apparently."
I'm sorry, Quiva. I know this term, these terms weren't, they're shoving the four normal men who want privacy into the closet.
Yes.
That's, there's no way that's intentional, but incredible, incredible.
So they it's Zhao apparently must have had like a pretty substantial clothes collection, because his old wardrobe is apparently 4 feet wide, 7 feet long, and 3 feet deep.
I mean, it's gonna be tight.
But yeah, you can put a few people in there. So Zhao was like, do you want to sleep in this wardrobe?" And Wukong's like, "Yep, perfect. Put us in there. We're very normal guys. Four normal men sleeping in a closet together."
0 feet apart because there's no space, and one of us is an enormous pig.
Yes.
Not fat shaving, just literally a
Four
pig.
normal guys sleeping 0 feet apart because they're not gay.
In a closet.
Wukong also is like, "Can you bring the horse around and tie it to the wardrobe as well?"
We sleep with our normal horse pups.
They all climb in.
He tells such good stories.
All climb in. And Wukong is like, "Okay, can you lock us in? Look for any little cracks or holes that might let any light in, paper over them,
Oh
and
my
then just
God.
come let us out in the morning."
Just give her a big tip of leprechaun gold.
And Zhao was just like, "Sure, I guess I can do this." Like,
Why
this
are they
is so
locking them
strange,
in?
but I'm a good host. I am a good host. Like I try and
Listen.
do the best I can for all my customers.
I didn't get this way by asking questions,
Oh
as
God.
a good mob front, clearly. I know when to keep the mouth shut.
Oh, you don't know how right you are about that, actually. Once they're all locked up inside their closet, they all start to realize, damn, it's fucking hot in here. In a wardrobe with five people in it that we've made airtight.
Why are they locking it?
So no one's accident, like no one opens it and sees them that they're bald.
Okay.
But it's really hot in there, so they all have to like
No shit.
they all like strip off. And then so Wukong decides to take part in his favorite hobby, which is annoying Baji.
They're gonna break this wardrobe, aren't they?
So he just starts doing a bit. He just like starts pretending to take the like cover story about the horses seriously, and he's like, oh, Baji, we're doing pretty well, you know. We had like what, like 5,000 silvers to start with. We sold a couple of horses already. We 3,000, we 4,000 left in the bag. I think if we sell, you know, we've 100 left. If we sell that, we'd be doing pretty well. I think we're pretty good at this merchant shit. And Baji's just like, shut up. Baji just ignores him, actually. Baji just like does not want to indulge the bit. But the thing is, some other people don't ignore him. Wukong here has made a mistake that I have made while camping, which is being like, oh yeah, we're in this enclosed space, we have privacy, we can't see anyone, so obviously no one can hear us, we can talk as loud as we want about embarrassing things, and no one 2 feet over in the next tent will definitely hear us because I'm stupid and forget that
Because
tents
we
don't
magic have
block,
a wall.
because tents do not block sound at all.
And this is why my upstairs neighbor hates me.
If I can't see them, they can't hear me.
Masterminded from start to finish. And now they have been loudly talking about how subversive they are. They're in a locked and portable box.
They've been talking about, no, they've been talking about how much money they have.
Oh, that's so much worse. That's so much worse.
Zhao is not like acting as a mob front. She's like not in on any crime as far as we are aware.
Okay.
But
But.
a bunch of the waiters and porters that work in the hotel are part of a gang of thieves on the side.
Service industry just does not pay.
Yeah, so a few of them overhear this guy talking about how much money they have. And slip out to tell the rest of the gang to get together, and they come back with like 20 lads. And so they search for these rich merchants. The guys who've been brought in, they haven't got the memo. They don't know that the guys are sleeping in this wardrobe. They just know that there's a bunch of rich merchants apparently staying here. They don't really see the merchants, but they're like, oh man, this wardrobe is really heavy. There must be some good shit in here. They try and pry it open, and they can't get the door they can't get the door to budge. But some guy has a fucking genius idea, which is like, well, there's probably like the silver, maybe it's in here. So we can't get it open here, so let's just like pick it up and haul it out of the city and break into it later.
This locked portable box, correct?
So they strap it to some poles and start carrying it away. The pilgrims who were, again, they can hear all of this, like the wardrobe is not blocking any sound. They can hear all of this happening. And we caught
What's
like
happened to the horse who was tied outside?
they're taking the horse as well. The horse is still
Okay.
tied to the wardrobe.
Also, you're lifting five heavy guys, including a pig. They're big.
Yeah, that there's
That's
20
gonna be murder.
there's 20 men pulling this together. So they start like talking about like what are we gonna do here? And McCoy's like, no, just be quiet, be quiet. And he kind of makes a joke that maybe if they take us out towards the west, they'll save us some of the effort of walking there ourselves. They don't though, actually. They head towards the eastern gate.
Ah, fuck.
The thing is, 20 men hauling a giant wardrobe out of the city in the middle of the night is kind of suspicious activity.
It's a little conspicuous, yeah.
So when they get to the gate, guards try to stop them, and actually, sorry, I was wrong here. They do kill these thieves do kill a few guards to get out of the
Oh,
city.
okay.
Sorry about that.
Listen, when
I'm
you
wrong
say
again. I'm
there's
always
no
wrong. Every time,
blank, I'm always
every I do not keep my promises.
No.
I'd forgotten this. Sorry.
Cleaver, we are definitely done with child murder, new cleave.
You see, this killing the guards at the city gate tends to be kind of a noisy process. So the alarm kind of goes up around the city, and before they know it, a cavalry unit is sent out after them.
Oh shit.
So when the gang sees like the size of the kind of government response, they're like, "Oh, we didn't expect." We did. We weren't up. We weren't up for this fight. They just scatter. They just drop everything and run. None of them are caught. They just get out. They just make for the hills. They're fine. But the soldiers seize the stolen goods. But seeing how nice the horse is,
Oh no.
the commander of the cavalry is like, damn, this is a nice horse. I'm gonna ride this horse back to the city myself. He takes the horse, and he's like,
That's so normal.
I am going to I don't know what to do with this. I don't know who owns it. I'm not gonna ask any questions or figure that out. Fuck that.
It's like shit, free horse.
I am going to let's just impound the wardrobe. We'll bring it back to the palace with us, and I will just present it to the king in the morning and open it in front of him, and we'll see what's inside, and let the king do whatever he likes with
Okay, great.
it. So we our plan has gone from we need to get through here without the king realizing that we're Buddhist monks to we are going to be presented directly to the king in the morning with a ribbon on top.
Oh, and real naked. I cannot imagine there is space in that wardrobe to put anything back on.
No. Yeah, so
That makes me wonder how they plan to handle that in the morning.
so
The
yeah, they
answer is they did not.
yeah
I understand this, but
the four guys, four extremely sweaty, naked men being presented to the king and being like, I know what this looks like. We're not monks, we're just gay.
you're into this, right? This is what the thing you're into. I have your box of naked men that you
Yeah.
ordered.
They also
It's someone's kink.
they put a, like a seal over the wardrobe door as well, like if it just describes like an official tape, and I'm just imagining like black and yellow police tape being wrapped around it, and I'm sure it's just like a slip of paper with
Nobody's got
official
the
business
key
written on it,
either
whatever, but
here, right? And it's airtight, so a Wukong fly can't slip out.
Oh, no, he can. Don't worry. He was.
Okay.
Wukong, as always, has a plan.
Yeah,
So,
his plans worked great so far.
yeah, in it's fine. In the middle of the night, he turns his iron rod into a small drill. He drills a little hole in the side of the wardrobe, and he turns into an ant and crawls out.
Sorry, I'm a child.
So it's the middle of the night. The palace is asleep. And what he does is he rips all the hair off his left arm.
Ah.
He stops to wax, and he turns each of them into a little mini Sun Wukong, a little one this time. And then he takes all the hair on his right arm, and he turns into his favorite sleep-inducing insects. And he summons some local spirits, and his final thing for preparation of this plan is he throws the golden hoop rod in the air and splits it up and turns it into hundreds and thousands of razor blades
Oh,
and
Jesus.
gives them to the horde of Wukongs. And he tells the local spirits, to show the Wukongs around the palace, where they are going to use the sleep-inducing insects to make sure no one wakes up, and in their
And the
sleep,
razors to make sure they never wake up.
no, shave all their heads.
Okay.
So after several hours of shaving, Wukong summons all the Wukongs back. He rehairs himself, and he crawls back into the wardrobe, to wait till the morning.
Everyone's asleep, man.
Yeah, well, no, it's fine. He's gotta wait. So in the morning,
Why?
because in the morning, all the palace, the guards, the maids, everyone starts to wake up, and they're all bald as eggs now. The king is bald, the queen is bald, the consorts are bald, the ministers are bald. And they all, as they phrase it themselves, been turned into Buddhists.
Oh no.
And so it's literally described as, like, the queen wakes up and is like, looks in bed and, like, sees there's a monk in her bed, and, like, looks in the mirror, is like, oh my god, I'm like a monk. And, like, so the king starts crying, and he thinks that this is, like, as part of divine retribution for murdering hundreds of monks, thousands of monks, in fact. He has been turned into a Buddhist monk.
Okay.
And this is the cliff this is the cliffhanger. We will see how he deals with
With
opening
his
up the
newfound
wardrobe in the morning.
punkitude. Oh, dear God. You were right. That was a fun one. That really was a fun one.
Is one of my favorite chapters in the whole book.
It's beautiful. Very beautiful. At least they have an air hole now, right?
Yeah, they have not suffocated. Don't worry.
Aside from anything else, I'm sure you're making a real fantastic point here, Wukong. I'm sure you're doing great on that. It's gotta be so fucking uncomfortable in that wardrobe right now.
Also, where did they what?
Physically and emotionally.
I'm just kind of wondering what he did, what all the mini Wukongs did with everyone's hair. It's going to be so much hair.
Yeah, nobody swept that up as far as we know. Anyway, wow.
He could sell it to some wig makers to pay for the hotel bill.
Bit of a hair-raising finish.
Oh yeah, actually, as just to say as well, I didn't know where to put this. There's a footnote that, explains that the this entire chapter is, like, based off a pun that so this is the Dharma destroying kingdom,
Right.
in, like, if you were reading this out loud, like the original Chinese, Dharma and hair would be homophones, so it's also the hair destruction kingdom.
Nice. Fun. Real fun. Real fun. I like that.
So Wukong destroyed all their hair.
Incredible. Podcast.
Podcast. Woo!
Yay!